Okay, what are we doing next? So, I mean, it's another... The Bible's full of strange stories, particularly the Old Testament. You've got stories like Jonah, which are pretty odd things, someone getting swallowed by a fish. The Tower of Babel. I mean, there's other sorts, all sorts of odd stories. Even the Ark, the flood is a bit odd, isn't it? And this is another one, because you've got God who's got this promised land ready for people, but he tells them to do sort of really strange things. I mean, why couldn't God just knock the walls over? Why couldn't they have to just walk around it once? Why did they have to go through all that malarkey of 7 days of walking around the wall? Why did God want them to do it that way? I guess a lot of it is to do with obedience and doing what God wants you to do. I think he probably wanted to show his power, and he wanted to show that it was his might, not the might of the Israelites, that was going to knock the walls over. But also, it's about obedience, isn't it? God says, if you do it this way, then this is what will happen. Yeah. I do wonder what would have happened if they hadn't done it that way. If someone had thrown the beanbag before the shout, for instance, what would have happened? What would have happened if they'd done it, if they hadn't done what God wanted? If they'd tried to, oh no, we don't need to march. That's stupid, marching around it every day. Let's not do it that way. I don't know. I guess the walls wouldn't have fallen down. They would still have been God's people, though. That's the thing sometimes to remember in these things. They would still have been God's people. But they may not have gotten to the promised land, or they may not have gotten in so quickly. They would still have been God's people, but they may not have got the blessing that God had sorted for them. I don't think I or you or any of us are, apart from this morning, ever likely to be asked to march around a city so that the walls fall down. I don't think that's going to happen to us. But you never know. No, you never know. No, it'd be a bit of a shock for the city, wouldn't it? But I don't know. You don't have to answer this out loud, but just think about it for a second. Have you ever felt God was asking you to do something? Maybe something a bit strange, but something quite specific. Have you ever felt God was asking you to do something that may or may not have been a bit strange, but was really specific, really specific? Have you ever heard God's voice? I can't say, if I'm honest, I've ever heard God's voice. But I do know there have been times when I've prayed about things and sort of thought things through and whatever. And at some point, not necessarily when I'm praying, but maybe the day after or within a few days, an idea has slotted into my head about how to deal with it. And I do think that's sometimes, that's probably most of the time, that's God sort of putting it in and honouring that. Then obviously the onus is still on me to do whatever God said, which sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I do think God answers us when we pray. God gives us ways to do things. And I guess he wants us to be obedient if he tells things directly to us. But I think it's more important and more regular, if you want, for want of a better word, that he wants us to be obedient to his commands generally. Sometimes discerning what God wants for us individually, we can get a bit too tied up in that, I think. Hear people thinking, I don't know whether God wants me to live there, or to do this, or to do that. And I think sometimes, not all the time, definitely not all the time, but sometimes God says, I don't care, I don't mind what you do, as long as you do it in the way I want you to do it, as long as you do it in obedience to the way I've asked you to live your life. Sometimes our obedience is to God's general commands for the way he wants us to live our life rather than for specific things. He wants us to live in the way he wants us to. He wants us to live honestly, he wants us to live kindly, he wants us to live positively. He wants us to say things in the way that he wants us to. He wants us to say positive things, not negative things, to people, about people. Kind words, be nice. Be nice, do nice things, say nice things. He wants us to do the things that he wants us to do. Do things that are loving things and right things. I could read you all sorts of verses from the Bible, and most of you will know them, and we've sort of talked about before up here or what have you. All sorts of things that tells us the thought of things God wants us to be doing, or the principles that he wants us to live through. I think God wants us to look for the little things that we can do to make life better for different people. whatever we're doing. And sometimes, so we can get tied up with, should I be doing this? Should I be living my life here or that way? And I say, sometimes God says, I don't really mind, but wherever you are, whatever you're doing, do it in my honour, do it in obedience to what I'm saying to you. Do it in the way that I've told you to do it. It might not be a specific thing like walking around and blowing trumpets and that sort of thing. If you think of the bit about Rahab, Rahab, don't know her history at all. We're told she was a prostitute, but we don't know what led her to look after those spies. But she must have heard something from God. She must have heard something specific from God. She acted on it, and she was blessed. She was saved, wasn't she, physically and presumably spiritually as well. She was saved because of the way she acted in obedience to God. She did what God wanted to do. She did the right thing. And God wants us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, however we're living our lives, he wants us to live it in a way that is honouring to him. If Joshua and the people hadn't done what God wanted, they would still have been God's people. They would still have been God's people. But they might well have missed out on blessing on the promised land. If we don't live God's way, those of us who are Christians, we are still God's people. We are still Christians. He still loves us. He still cares for us. He'll still speak to us. He still wants us to do things. He still wants us to be close to him. If we don't live the way he wants us to live, if we're Christians, we're still Christians. But it might mean we miss out on blessings that he has for us. It might be. But if we do live his way, then I think we do get the promised land. And that's not saying everything's going to be wonderful and everything's going to be a bed of roses, because we know it isn't as Christians. We know it isn't. We know not everything was perfect. We know Christians go through different things. I sometimes look at people who are Christians who are living their lives in real good obedience to God. And I think, why are they going through such hard times despite that? And I don't know the answer to that. God knows the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that. But there is definitely blessing if we are God's people and if we try to live out our lives in his way. Last little bit I'm going to touch on here, then we're going to have a short time of prayer, I think. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. I did speak on this a few weeks back, but I just wanted to look at a slightly different bit of it. Command those who are rich, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Yeah, and I think that what that's saying is, if we do the right things, if we do the good deeds, if we don't trust in wealth, if we are generous, if we're willing to share, etc., 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 whatever the things are that God's telling us, we lay up treasure for ourselves for the coming age, i.e. for heaven, but also we'll be able to take hold of the life that is fully life and truly life. And that says to me, in this life as well, in this life we will be blessed. God wants to bless us. God wants good things for us. God doesn't stop all the bad things happening to us. And I don't know how those two really work together, but they do, I guess, in some way. But I think what I'm saying here is, with walking around Jericho, they got the promised land because they did exactly what God said. To the letter, they did exactly what God said. And they didn't always get things right, did they, the Israelites? They didn't always get things right, but they did on this occasion, and they got the promised land. We won't always get things right, but if we try to live our lives with the help of God's Holy Spirit, with his blessing, if we try to live our lives in the way that he wants us to, then we will open ourselves to be able to receive his blessing in all that we do and in all that we are. God wants to bless us so much. God wants to give us so many good things. And that's really exciting, I think. We've got a bit of time.